marketing. Do you go all e-commerce and digital, or do you go all traditional? Bill Durant, author of The Digital Stone Age, says you do a little bit of both. Let's dive in and have that discussion, an interview on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So you got my attention over the book, The Digital Stone Age. And before we dive into that, tell me about how you got here. Tell me about your background and how you got to giving advice around marketing.
Yeah, well, I have a marketing and advertising background. I started off my career as a consultant for Fox and MGM, the movie studios in Australia. And you know, that was about 20 years ago when digital, and it was really, and it's still very nascent. So I've kind of grown up alongside the proliferation of digital, the digitization of media and advertising. And my career really started to center and focus around this world of media and advertising, sort of the business, in many cases, the more technical and analytical side of what's normally considered to be a very creative field. And in doing that, in learning from working with some of the biggest brands in the country, eventually I started my own agency and started my own team. And when we did that, all of these new learnings really came to light. They're all things that problems that never really occur for smaller brands or for smaller advertisers and organizations that occur for the larger ones and vice versa. So what we were finding was a whole new set of problems for brands that were really in this kind of growth stage, and in many cases, trying to establish what their identity and their marketing strategy were. And in doing that is when all of the research came about that I ultimately ended up incorporating into Digital Stone Age, and really led to where we are today, which is having a very clear point of view on what this new age in marketing and media really is all about and how to translate that for businesses of all sizes.
So I love the title, you know, Digital Stone Age. So, you know, I don't want to sum it down because I know there's more to it than this, but is essentially your guidance here that you're doing both, that you're doing digital and traditional? What's the real guidance you're trying to convey?
Yeah, you know, the title came about because we work with some smaller, very consumer, in some cases, business-to-business oriented brands. And in some of their cases, they leaned right into digital and said, we have a certain budget, it's somewhat limited. We see our competitors in the world, in outdoor, in television, in radio. We can't afford that. So what do? We want to do digital. And there was also this kind of misconception that in order to be perceived as a modern marketer, so to speak, you had to be as digital as possible in your marketing mix. And what we saw was that they were actually missing the benefit, in their case, of utilizing traditional tactics, utilizing things that had been working for decades and still worked, albeit a little bit differently, kind of here in what we call the modern era of the last 10 or 15 years. And so what we really wanted to do was initiate a dialogue around, hey, if you're over digitized or you have this misconception about traditional tactics, let's see where the truth really lies and what's most effective. And similarly, if you've been utilizing the same tactics for a long time and perhaps you're overly traditional or you're based off of non-digital marketing tactics, you know, let's see where the truth is in terms of what's most effective, because you both have something to learn from one another and the power really is in the combination.
And does this apply both to kind of brand messaging and lead generation, or are they different strategies in your mind? How do the two fit together?
Yeah, you know, very often our industry likes to take those two ideas of a brand message. Think that's something that's, you know, a little bit less specific around features, specs, buy now messages. You know, we're thinking about just do it in the case of Nike. They like to separate that out from messages that are more buy now focused or what we call lower funnel. And, you know, ultimately the two ideas, so whether you see a banner ad that tells you to buy the pair of Nike socks that you were surfing and checking out earlier in the week, or you see the just do it message, the idea is that ultimately they work best together. And so what we really want to do is make sure that we're combining not just the channels or the tactics that we're utilizing for best effect, but also the messaging that we share with consumers or with the people that are going to be buying from us in our particular field.
So then what's the, how do you mix digital and traditional marketing? Is the idea getting the message the same? Is there some formula to it? How do you effectively mix both digital and traditional in your mind?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, fortunately, there's some science that can help us answer that. And what science has shown through a meta-analysis of campaigns, I think over 1,000 different campaigns, was that a message that was about 60% focused towards that idea of broader awareness of a brand message, typically something that might, at least in the past, have utilized more traditional channels. You know, in our case, for a bigger brand, that would mean television. For a smaller brand, that might mean local radio or something like that. 60% of your investment there and 40% of your investment in messages that say, buy now, take this action, click to get this white paper if you have more of a lead gen based type of company. That's the general rule of thumb. It's going to be different for different types of businesses. If I'm a direct to consumer brand that's sold entirely online, I might have a little bit more weighting towards that lower funnel message, towards more digital tactics. And if I'm a brand that's extremely well established and available everywhere, I might, you know, of course, be more brand oriented, different needs for different brands. So what we found is that, you know, when you look at kind of how you segment out messaging, there's a great rule of thumb that we can utilize as a brand to begin testing what's most effective and impactful. We've also found that it is, again, within the channels that we use. It's not just the message that we say, but it's the channels that we use. And sometimes for brands, that might even be within a brand that operates entirely within the digital space or entirely outside of the digital space, and segmenting out different tactics and different approaches there too. You know, one thing that I've learned, you know, my perspective too, is I am a small to medium sized business owner myself. And so we're always looking at what works for us too. And so as I think about, you know, listening in the shoes of the folks who are listening here today, you know, I'm thinking about your perspective too of, you know, can I rely on something like referrals, for instance? You know, how am I looking at the marketing tactics that I'm using to get new business? And while our business has grown tremendously because of referrals and, you know, the quality of work that we do, and it's always a testament to that, what we found is that by putting ourselves out into the marketplace, and because of COVID, this had to become entirely digital, with content that we share on platforms like LinkedIn, like our own platforms that we own. But having content that really showcases the areas where we believe we have strong thought leadership has then generated both direct leads and also indirect leads. The other nice thing that that kind of approach has done too, and this is really important as we consider what mix of tactics and approaches we're looking for, is that some tactics are really good at getting someone to do something right away. Other tactics are really good at getting someone to trust you or to understand who you are and what you do. And you need to have people understand both of those things. They need to do something right away, but it's ideal if, in order to get them and compel them to do that, they already trust you and they already know who you are, what you stand for, and perhaps even what your point of view is on a really important topic that's interesting to them or solves a problem that they have.
So what's the sort of KPIs that you really rely on to measure that effectiveness? Because you're talking about a couple of different tactics and you're talking about a couple of different strategies. Like, obviously you can always sort of say, well, it results in sales, but we both know that that's hard to track. How during that process do you measure things, and what are the KPIs that you really rely on for that?
Yeah, you know, you can go as broad as understanding impressions, right? So how many people are actually exposed to the work that I do? And, you know, impressions are a kind of a blunt force tool in understanding success. But they do help you at least understand the context and the ability to reach enough people. Was that there or not? And then, of course, you go all the way down to sales, which is the holy grail of measurement. If you can accurately and adequately measure sales through what you're doing, fantastic, more power to you. There are some tactics that can help you do that. But it's the messy middle where I think, you know, the most interesting KPIs and results happen. So if you have the opportunity, if you have a very clear understanding of who your marketplace is, and you have a, you know, kind of what we call a brand tracker survey that's going out, understanding if people are even aware of you, understanding if people would consider you, you know, understanding where people are in their relationship with you, and how particular marketing tactics have influenced those metrics is incredibly powerful. Certainly a little bit complex. And certainly the broader that your reach is, the more the ability to do something like that exists. But as we think about the other types of metrics, you know, we're also thinking about, and certainly this is very true for us, how many leads are being generated, right? You know, how are we kind of hitting that point in the middle where someone's not quite a customer, but they're not just quite looking or evaluating or seeing us. They've actually actively done something to initiate a conversation with us. Starting to put strong metrics down around those leads, and then ultimately metrics that you're keeping track of around the sales process. And of course, asking people or using digital tracking to find out how they found out about you or where they came in through. Is really important in understanding, is the work that I'm doing making an impact? Is one tactic versus another making an impact? And then you can ultimately start to do things like little experiments and see if I took a specific tactic away, if I'm using Facebook advertising, for instance, do all of my leads go away, even though I thought they were all coming through something like search? Because what many people find is that something like LinkedIn or Facebook is driving awareness of who you are. People are then, because of that, searching for you, or later when they're searching for a solution in your field, then they find you on search, they click through, and it looks like search is driving everything. But in truth, everything is working together. So as you think about how you're constructing KPIs and measuring success, always think about it in the context of how your service or product is sold, is the advice that we give, and get really nitty gritty as possible in that middle. Because it's not always easy to measure sales, and it's not always easy to interpret and understand something as broad as this is the number of impressions that I achieved in a marketing campaign.
Gotcha. So I'm going to, in your book, you talked a little bit about the motivations behind those on the either extreme, either those that are 100% traditional or those that are 100% digital. And you argue that both are leaving money on the table. What's the motivation going on there that in a way that is holding the end customer back by these kinds of all in either way advertisers?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, we say you're leaving money on the table because in many cases, you're failing to combine multiple tactics. So one of the simplest ways of increasing the effectiveness of your marketing is combining multiple tactics. It really is, I don't need to say anything else. It's that simple. And there's reasons for it. But when you think about it, layering in, you know, seeing a brand or a service in multiple places, you know, you're more inclined to buy. That almost always bears out in the data. So, you know, as we think about that as a general axiom or idea, and then we think about, well, what does the science tell us about should we be combining digital tactics with traditional tactics? The answer is overwhelmingly yes, that the two work well on their own, but better together. Okay. Then I think about the type of messaging that I've got. What does the science tell us about the messaging that says, please buy now, please download this white paper and give us your email versus talking a little bit more broadly about who you are? And ultimately, it tells us that you need to have both of those approaches as well. So when we think about people who are in a position for marketing their organization, and they're saying, well, everything that we do is going to be either 100% digital or 100% about buy now, because we really need sales now, or whatever the case might be. What we're finding is that science is telling us very clearly that they're leaving money on the table. And the psychology behind that is sometimes, you know, a little bit more challenging, because a lot of people think, you know, if they're all digital, they're thinking, I'm a modern marketer. The world is going digital. And it absolutely is. But what they're missing is that these kind of what we call Stone Age tactics that they derisively refer to them as still very much have value and drive deep value in helping their customers make decisions and ultimately make a purchase. And it's the same thing on the traditional side. If you're thinking, well, what's always worked has always worked. you know, that very well may be true, but you're leaving money on the table again because you're not doing what works best at driving an actual consumer or customer sale, which is combining different tactics. So it always comes back to, in my humble opinion, an idea of balance. Am I taking a balanced approach, or am I doing just what's easy or what solves kind of a psychological need for perception around me and who I am as a marketer? You want to have that balance. You want to look at the science and let the data and the information there guide you and let the best practice guide you. And then you want to tailor that to your own organization's results through measurement as you employ those strategies.
Gotcha. So that makes a lot of sense. So, but if I'm thinking like some of my listeners who oftentimes feel like they have a very constrained marketing budget, what's your then advice to somebody as they're saying, like, I want to take my first marketing dollar? Where do you start them? Where is that recommendation for their first marketing dollar go?
Sure. So it's hard to say because, you know, that first marketing dollar, you know, is not going to work as effectively on its own. But what we found is that if you're isolating and identifying audiences who are actively searching for more information or for a solution like yours, you want to be in search, right? Because search is a hand raiser's medium. You're raising your hand saying, I want information on this specifically. And of course, we can get really, really tailored down to the local level. Down to the demographic level in some cases as well, although some of that's going away. And we can be really specific with who we're communicating with. We're talking to it what we call an in-market audience. So if you really want to know where to put that first dollar, 8 to 9 times out of 10, I'm going to tell you search. You know, for some folks, they may have a much more involved marketing process, or they may want to know where do I put that second dollar. And for them, you know, we're looking at something like if you're doing a B2B type of transaction or relationship with that type of customer, you're really looking at an environment like LinkedIn. How can I target people very specifically against, you know, where they're located, how big their organization is, what type of organization they're at, and get really nitty gritty. And you can share content and thought leadership with them. Things that you've been thinking or writing or developing for your existing client base, you can share that out with them. And you can use that, you know, you can get a little bit fancier and use a landing page and have them submit their email address. And then suddenly you have someone to then remarket to. Or you can drive them to your own homepage and you can use other remarketing tactics. So this is having those banners that follow you around, Facebook ads that know where you've been. You know, those exist still. In a large part, they're going to be going away over the next 12 months. But those things still exist. And all of those are ultimately going to work really nicely by themselves in terms of generating leads for you and sales. But they're going to work even better than when they combine with that first dollar and we go back to search. People are going to look you up or they're going to look up your field. They're going to see you. They're going to already know you. They're going to already have a relationship with you and trust you. And they're going to be much more likely.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. So your book is The Digital Stone Age. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more?
Sure. LinkedIn, Bill Durant, D-U-R-R-A-N-T is the best way. And the book's on Amazon and most popular booksellers online, Digital Stone Age.
Hackers are constantly evolving, exploiting new vulnerabilities and dwelling in SMB environments until they meet Huntress. Founded by former NSA cyber operators and backed by a team of threat ops researchers, Huntress helps find and stop hidden threats that sneak past preventative security tools. Curious what's lurking in your network? Go to Huntress.com to learn more or start a free 21-day trial. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.